one day, sir, I was walking along. I heard that special singing a lonesome song.
I let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a lovely light on me.
Well, you can clap on it if you want, but don't think you can get away without singing. Try it again. Oh, let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Oh, let the midnight special shine a loving light on me.
Well, if you ever go to Houston, you know you better walk right. You better not stagger. You know you better not fight, because the sheriff will just arrest you. You know he'll carry you down, and you can bet your bottom dollar on your penitentiary bound.
Oh, let the midnight special shine a light on me. Oh, let the midnight special shine a loving light on me.
Yonder come little Rosie, how in the world do you know? I could tell her by her apron and the dress she wore, umbrella on her shoulder, piece of paper in her hand. Goes a marching to the captain, says I want my man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me.
Well, here comes Jumpin' Judy. You know, I tell you how I know. You know Judy brought Jumpin' to the whole wide world. She brought it in the morning, about to break a day. And if I ever get to jump in, oh Lord, I'll up and jump away.
Well, let the midnight special shine a light on me. Well, let the midnight special shine a loving light on me.
Yeah, the loving light on me. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody here can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. Now, even if you never heard this song before, you can help me out. You just repeat each line after me. You got to walk,
you got to walk
that lonesome valley.
Lonesome valley.
You got to walk,
you got to walk
it by yourself.
It by yourself.
Nobody here can walk it for you.
Walk it for you.
Oh, you got to walk,
you walk
it by yourself. Oh,
Daniel was
a Bible hero. Was a prophet. Brave and true. In a den of hungry lions. He showed what faith can do for you.
Here we go.
Yes, you got them all.
You got to walk
that lonesome valley.
You got to walk by yourself.
Nobody here
can walk
walk it for you.
Walk it for you.
Sounding good, except we need a few more high tenors. Who's gonna sing? You gotta walk it by yourself. A few altos and basses. Walk it by yourself. Try that chorus again. You got to walk.
You got to walk
a lonesome valley.
And a lonesome valley.
You got to walk.
You got to walk
it by yourself.
By yourself.
Nobody here.
Nobody here
can walk it for you.
Can walk it for you.
You got to walk, walk, walk it by yourself. Oh, some folks say.
Some folks say.
John was a Baptist.
John was a Baptist.
Some folks say.
Some folks say.
He was a Jew.
He was a Jew.
But the Holy.
But the Holy.
Bible tells us. That he was, a preacher too. Here we go. Yes, you got to walk.
You got to walk
a lonesome valley.
That lonesome valley.
You got to walk.
You got to walk
by yourself.
By yourself.
Nobody here.
Nobody here
can walk it for you.
Can walk it for you.
You got to walk. Walk. Now though the road be rough and rocky,
and the hills
be steep and high,
we can sing
as we go marching,
and we'll win that one big union by and by.
Yes, you got to walk.
You got to walk
that lonesome valley.
That lonesome valley.
You got to walk.
You got to walk
by yourself.
By yourself.
Nobody here.
Nobody here
can walk it for you.
Can walk it for you.
You got to walk
it by yourself.
Walk it by yourself. Above us, one ocean lapping all the shore, one earth so green and round, who could ask for more? Gotta turn down the bass a little on the guitar, she's too much. And because I love you, I'll give it one more try to show my rainbow race. It's too soon to die. Some folks want to be like an ostrich, bury their heads in the sand. Some hope that plastic dreams can unclench all those greedy hands. Some hope to take the easy way. Poisons, bombs, they think we need them. Don't you know you can't kill all the unbelievers? There's no shortcut to freedom. One blue sky above us. Blue sky above us. One ocean lapping all our shore. One ocean lapping all our shore. One earth so green and round. One earth so green and round. Who could ask for more? Who could ask for more? Because I love you, And because I love you, give it one more try. I'll give it one more try to show my rainbow race, to show my rainbow race. It's too soon to die, it's too soon to die. Go tell all the little children. Tell all the mothers and fathers too. Now's our last chance to learn to share what's been given to me and you. One blue sky above us.
One ocean.
One ocean wrapping all our shore.
One earth.
One earth so green and round. Who could ask for more? Who could ask for more? Because I love you, and because I love you, give it one more try, I'll give it one more try, to show my rainbow race, to show my rainbow race. It's too soon to die, it's too soon to die. One blue sky above us, one blue sky above us, one ocean. One ocean lapping on our shore. One earth so green and round. Who could ask? Who could ask for more? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In Spanish, Romero, gonna make this garden grow. Gonna mulch it deep and low, gonna make it fertile ground. In Spanish, Romero, please bless these seeds I sow. Please keep them safe below, till the rain comes tumbling down. Pulling weeds and picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. Need a place to call my own, cause the time is close at hand. Grain for grain, sun and rain, find my way in nature's chain. Tune my body and my brain to the music of the land. Help me out if you know it now. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. Gonna march it deep and low, gonna make it fertile ground.
Inch by inch, row by row.
Inch by inch, row by row. Please bless these seeds I sow. Please keep them safe below, till the rain comes tumbling down. Plant your rows straight and long, season with a prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care. Old crow watching from a tree, he's got his hungry eye on me. But in my garden, I'm as free.
Oh, wait a minute, you know, Adam, I didn't mean to stop the song so much, but everybody was clapping, and I wondered if you were actually listening to the lyrics of this song. I mean, you know what I mean? Well, what does this mean? What does this mean to you? Like, old crow watching from a tree, got his hungry eyes on me. How come he ain't looking at the stuff in the garden? You know what I mean? I mean, this is probably, you know, a song a lot of adults are out there clapping along, you know, and this probably didn't mean a whole lot to you, but if you were a kid or something, which is probably why they like this song and make me do it, if you were a kid like that big or something, and crows are that big, and crows are looking at you with red hungry eyes, this is a whole different song going on here. I think those TV evangelist guys are right. I think there's more to this music than meets the eye. That's right. I mean, for example, in the middle of this song, going by almost unnoticed by everybody is a regular monster movie right here in this verse. I know there's a lot of environmental, you know, types, ecology types that come to these shows, you know, but, well, I don't want you listening to what I'm saying now. This is not for you. This is for little kids out there who are having fun right now, but later tonight when they're asleep all by themselves in their own little rooms, and they start thinking about crows with red hungry eyes, sharp pointy lips, fat necks and big wings. Pay attention to Uncle Arlo, kids. If you start thinking about that stuff, just remember that although crows have all that, they also have little skinny knees that only bend one way. And if you rearrange that like that, crows won't pay attention to you anymore. They'll be dancing around in circles and stuff, trying to get away. You could write songs about them, make fun of them, and stuff like that, and you'll be all right. You write your own words to this song. You don't go along with what everybody's singing here. You write your own words so that you can remember what Uncle Arlo is telling you. Something like, old crow watching from a tree, got his hungry eyes on me, but he's got little itty-bitty skinny one-way knees. Stuff like that, you know. Doesn't have to be exact, just something to make you remember on your own. That's what we call the folk process. That's right. So here we go now. I hope everybody will sing along with me. Especially you kids out there, help me out. Uncle Arlo feels stupid enough singing this song. I don't even really like this song so much. And it's not, I didn't even mean to sort of be doing it, but actually it's Pete's fault. Because Pete, you know, was up one night just like we are here. It might have even been in this very spot a few years ago. And Pete was teaching everybody this song, including me. And I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, so Pete goes like that, and thousands of people who've never heard the song before singing along in four-part harmony. Well, one time. That's right. I'm still learning how to do that. One time Pete was going like this, teaching everybody the song, and stopped and forgot that his hand was pointing at me. And I have felt almost compelled to do this song almost every night since that time. Even though I don't like it a whole lot. So I do hope you help me out singing it so I don't feel so all alone in the world. Not only that, this is the time of year when everybody hates gardens anyway. You know? This is the time of year you go out to find it and you can't remember where you put it. And there's no indication in the ground of where it ever was. Matter of fact, it was a guy that one time wrote what he called the anti-garden song, and I was singing a verse to that because it's my type of, you know, humor, I guess. And eventually came up to me and said, Arlo, you know, I'm really glad that you're doing my verse to the song, but I think you ought to give me credit for writing it. And, you know, he's absolutely right. I forgot his name, but this is his verse. If you want his name and stuff, by the way, we've brought along some books that Pete has had something to do with. I'm not exactly sure. But
I wrote the introduction.
What's it called now?
Rise Up Singing.
And there's all the lyrics to all these weird songs that I stop in the middle of, if you ever want to know the conclusion, or the way they really go, or who wrote the anti-garden song, or any number of other things. Somewhere where our junk is back there, you'll find the Rise Up Singing songbook, and you can sing along. At home to your kids. So here we go. Let's start that verse again. Oh, no, let me do the anti-garden thing. I got to do that just to inspire those who are probably just sitting there waiting for something to do. Here we go. Slug by slug, weed by weed. Boy, this garden's got me tea. All the insects come to feed on my tomato plants. Sunburned face, skinned up knees. The kitchen's choked with zucchinis. I'm shopping at the A&B's next time I get the chance. Inch by inch, row by row, the
gonna make this garden grow. Gonna mulch it deep and low. Gonna make it fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row. Please bless these seeds I sow. Please keep them safe below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Boy, I hate singing and playing on these hot nights. It's terrible. Why'd you guys come? I want to be by the ocean or something. Yeah. But here we are. It's kind of, these are the kind of nights that I get weird ideas. And I noticed only three people that, yeah. That, those three had never been to see one of these shows before. I'll try and do some normal songs if I can. Okay.
It was late last night and the boss come home asking about his lady. The only answer that he got, she's gone with the gypsy, David. Gone with the gypsy, David. Go saddle me up my buckskin horse and my $100 saddle. Point after me their wagon tracks. And after them I travel, and after them I'll ride. Well, he had not rode till the midnight moon. When he saw that campfire gleaming, he heard the notes of the big guitar. Song of the gypsy singing, song of the gypsy day. As he walked up to the camping fire, he saw her fair face beaming. He heard the notes of the big guitar. Song of the gypsy singing, song of the gypsy day. Thank you.
Once there was a farmer walking down the road whistling this tune to himself. Well, he scratched his head and says, "Doggone, I don't have any words to that song." Just then he came to a little brook, and he leaned on the railing of the bridge and looked down. There was a big bullfrog hopping from bank to bank. The bullfrog looks up and thought he'd take a, he thought he'd show off. He took an extra special big hop. Kersplash, he fell in the mud, got all dirty, and the farmer laughed and laughed and started singing. Way down south in the Yankety Yank, a bullfrog jumped from bank to bank just because he'd nothing better for to do. He stubbed his toe, fell in the water, you could hear him holler for a mile and a quarter just because he'd nothing better for to do. Well, the farmer went down the road feeling very proud of himself for making up a song. Went down to the corner store, bought a plug of chewing tobacco and some groceries. He says, "Oh, before I go home, I must teach you my new song." The man in the store said, "Go home, I'm busy here. See all these summer people." The farmer says, "I won't pay you my money unless you let me sing my song." "All right, sing it and get it over with." The farmer started singing. The man in the store said, "Hey, gather around everybody, let's have a party." And they were stamping on the floor, thinking, "Wait, come something, the yankety yank, a bull jump from back." And they were stamping on the floor, drinking the free Coca-Colas, eating the free soda crackers. Back home, wives and children sitting down to eat supper. Where's father? "Children, you better run down to the corner store, fetch your old man. He's probably wasting his time as usual." All the children ran down the road. They ran inside the store, but they heard that music. They forgot all about giving the message. The children started singing, "Way down south in the Yankee Yank, a bullfrog jumping bang to bang." And they were stamping on the floor, drinking the free Coca-Colas, eating the free soda. In every farmhouse, it was the same situation. The mother says, "This has gone far enough. They expect us to work all day and nobody show up for supper." And they walk down the road waving the frying pan. They get near, they hear that music, they forget about being angry. They drop the frying pans in the gutter, they walk in the store, and the mother starts singing, "Wake down something, yankety yank, a bullfrog jumping bang to bang." And they were stamping on the floor, drinking the free Coca-Colas. Out in the barn, all the cows says, "Where is everybody? We're supposed to be milked. It's getting very uncomfortable." All the cows walked out of their stalls, they walked down the road, they walk inside the corner store. Moo, 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 moo. Cows' tails were swishing out the window. They were stamping on the floor, drinking the free Coca-Colas, eating the free soda. Out in the barnyard, all the chickens says, "Here is everybody. We're supposed to be fed. We're getting hungry." The chickens hopped over the fence. They hopped down the road. They hop inside the store. Feathers flying through the air. Chickens stamping on the floor. They're drinking the free Coca-Colas. All the barns started talking to each other. They said, "We feel so empty. Without any cows, without any chickens." The barns pick themselves off the foundation. They galumph down the road. They squeeze inside the corner store, believe it or not. Ever hear rusty hinge on a barn door? That's the way they sang. Out in the fields, all the grass says, "Where is everybody? The cows are supposed to come and eat us. I guess we'll have to go find them." The grass picked itself up, swished down the road, swished inside the corner store. When the grass was gone, the fields were gone. When the fields were gone, the banks of the brook were gone. The brook says, "I don't have nothing to bubble between." The brook bubbled down the road, bubbled up inside the corner store. The brook was bubbling up and down the stairway. The grass was growing out the chimney. The feathers flying through the air. The cow's tail swishing out the window. Everybody drinking the free Coca-Colas. Eating the free soda. There was the bullfrog in midair. Where am I? There's no bank to land on. There's no brook underneath me. The only thing left was the road. There is always a road. And the frog got in it and hopped down the road. Hey, what's that racket? They're singing. They're singing about me. The frog was so proud, he puffed himself up with pride. And he puffed, and he puffed, and he puffed, and he puffed. Cows, barns, chickens, farmers, wives, the whole corner store exploded up in the air. And everybody floated down through the sky, landed right where they're supposed to have been the whole time, sat down eating supper, feeling kind of foolish for themselves. Next day they went out to try and find the frog. They looked high, they looked low, Coca-Cola bottles, soda crackers in all directions, but no frog. So all there is left of the frog is the song. We might as well sing her once again. Help me. Way down south in the Yankety-Yank, a bullfrog jumped from bank to bank just because he'd nothing better thought to do. He stubbed his toe, fell in the water. He stubbed his toe, fell in the water. You could hear him holler for a mile and a quarter just because there's nothing better for to do. Anybody know how to whistle? That story was actually made up by my father when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I think he remembered hearing this song when he was a kid. It was a comedian named May Irwin. It was known as May Irwin's Frog Song. Come to think of it, Arlo, you know, that song you sang about Gypsy Davy, your grandmother sung that to your father. I bet here's a tune your other grandmother might have sung to your mother. Anybody know this? Hum it. I don't know the words, but it's a lovely old melody. Hum it.
Gotta get these picks on the fingers. This language that we speak is part German, part Latin, and part Greek, with some Celtic and Arabic and Scandinavian all in the heap. Well amended by the people in the street, Choctaw gave us the word okay. Vamos is a word from Mexico way. And all of this is a hint I suspect of what comes next. I think that this whole world soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up. Soon, mama, my whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up. Soon, mama, my whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up. I like Polish sausage, I like Spanish rice, pizza pie is also nice. Corn and beans from the Indians here, washed down by some German beer. Marco Polo traveled by camel and pony, brought to Italy the first macaroni. And you and I, as well as we're able, put it all on the table. I think that this whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed. Sing it again. Soon, mama, my whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up. Play. Red-headed Irishmen before the Vikings landed in Ireland. How many Romans had dark curly hair before they brought slaves from Africa? No race on earth is completely pure, nor is anyone's mind, and that's for sure. The winds mix the dust of every land, and so will woman and man. I think that this whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get. Sing it again. Soon, mama, my whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up. Oh, this doesn't mean we must all be the same. We'll have different faces and different names. Long live many different kinds of races, and difference of opinion, that makes horse races. Just remember the rule about rules, brother. What's right with one is wrong with another. And take a dip from La Belle France. Vive la France. I think that this whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get once more time. Soon, mama, my whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my whole world, soon, gonna be get mixed up.
I came here for that. This is fun here tonight.
As a matter of fact, I remember one night, about 3 years ago, I guess it was, I was playing up somewhere around the border of Canada. I was still in the U.S., and I was doing a show, and in the middle of the show, I heard somebody going, "Arlo." And I look on the side of the stage in the, you know, behind the curtain type things, was standing somebody who I hadn't seen for a while. He was supposed to be hiding out from the FBI in some foreign country. He was supposed to have some kind of face job so that you couldn't recognize him, although I recognized him instantly. Not only that, Abbie Hoffman had his kid standing there, looked exactly like him. And so I was thinking of that the other day because I was thinking how silly it was because I said, Abbie, what are you doing here? I thought you were supposed to be hiding out. He goes, shh, don't say I'm here. I said, what are you doing? You're the one, you know, anyway. So the time before that I'm thinking about now was when I was up testifying at the Chicago 7 trial, which I never figured out exactly what I was supposed to be doing there. But I got subpoenaed to be there, and I said, how come you guys want me up here? And they said, well, you're a part of the culture, and they're putting the culture on trial. I said, oh, as if I understood. And I remember I was sitting in a room back, you know, in the back of the actual court, and I was scared because I'd never been in court except for once. And they were asking me. They were asking me all kinds of questions, you know, like to see what I might say up there, you know. And so I asked them, I said, well, tell me the truth. What is it you really want me to be doing while I'm here? They said, Arlo, we want you to sing Alice's Restaurant. So I said to them, can I play my guitar? And they said, no. I said, oh. So I walked out and I got sworn in. I'm sitting down there. And the lawyers are trying to make me feel comfortable, but I was so nervous, all I could say was like, yeah. And I would have said yeah to anything, you know. It was like, can you give us your name? Yeah. Like, what is it? Yeah. And they finally had to feed me the information, like, you are Arlo Guthrie. Yeah. And so we finally got, and you wrote a song. Yeah. And it's called Alice's Best. Yeah. And I finally... So I suddenly, while they're asking me all this stuff, and I'm feeling really stupid already, I suddenly realized that I had never started the song other than at the beginning. And the beginning is the guitar. And I didn't have a guitar. So in my mind, now that they asked me to do it, and I'm sitting there, everybody's waiting for me, I'm starting to go like, I looked up. And everybody from around the world, all the press and all the TV and the cameras are going here looking at me like I'm nuts. But I knew I couldn't start just talking. I had to start where it starts. Too long to start any other. You have to start in the beginning, go all the way through. So I started speeding it up, you know, just so I could get through it quicker. Like, this song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice in the Restaurant, but Alice's Restaurant in the name of the restaurant is why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. And I took a breath, and I finally got to the chorus, and I started singing, you can get anything you want. All of a sudden, the judge stood up, and he towered over me, and he looked down, and, excuse me, Mr. Guthrie, he said, but I won't tolerate any singing in my court. And I looked back at Judge Hoffman and said, Judge, with this song, that won't be a problem. This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant was never the name of a restaurant. That was always just the name of this song. And I guess that's why I still call this song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. I really wasn't gonna do this song tonight, or this decade. But I realized, I guess about a year and a half or 2 years ago, that Well, it had been 20 years before that this song come out as a record. And I was looking around at the audience and I realized that there was people coming to the shows that wasn't even born 20 years ago. And so I decided that it'd be a friendly gesture to learn the song all over again. I tried. And you know, I guess if it was about 2 years ago that it was 20 years before that, and it was 2 years at least on the record, that means it was 24 Thanksgivings ago. 24 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in a restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a very long time. We got up there and found the place was filled with garbage. And we decided that it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction and headed on toward the town dump. We got there. There was a sign across the road, chain across the road, and the sign said, closed on Thanksgiving. We had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And so with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. And we didn't find one till we come to a side road. And off the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile would be better than two little ones. Rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obi. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obi, I cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." It was after speaking to Obi for about 45 minutes on the telephone that we finally arrived at the truth of the matter. And Obi said we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and we also had to go down and talk to him at the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one of two things that Obi could have done at the police station, and the first thing was he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. The other possibility was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't counted on. And we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And we sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. Friends, I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this was happening. They got three stop signs, two police officers, and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster tire tracks, dogs smelling prints. They took 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner and the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. It was after the ordeal we went back to the jail. Obi said he's gonna put us in a cell. He said, "Kid, I'm gonna put you in a cell. Give me your wallet and your belt."
And I said, Obie, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell. But what do you want my belt for? He said, kid, we don't want any hangings. And I said, Obie, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering? Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. Took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, have an escape and get away. Obie was making sure, all right, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? This is a song about Alice, and she come by, and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, she bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie come in with a 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and the paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us, and he sat down. A man come in. He said, all rise. We stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures when the judge walked in with a C&I dog. He sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. And then at the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures and looked at the C&I dog and began to cry. Because Obie come to the realization that this was a typical case of American blind justice. And there was no way that the judge was going to look at the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures. But it didn't matter, because we was fined $25 each, and we had to pick up the garbage in the snow. But that's not what I come to talk about tonight. I just thought I'd mention it, because I figured it's probably people sitting out here thinking this is some kind of nostalgic ballad or something. I hope so. But you never know, they still got that building down on Whitehall in New York, and others like it all around the country. And that's where you used to have to go in, get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. And I remember I had to go over there one morning a long time ago for a physical examination. So I got good and drunk the night before, because I wanted to look and feel my best when I went in that morning. I mean, I wanted to look like, I wanted to feel, I wanted to be like the all-American kid. And when I went in that morning, I was hung down, I was brung down, I was hung up. I was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking things. I walked in, I sat down. They gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. I walked up there and I said, shrink, I want to kill. I mean, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth, deep dead burning bodies. I mean, kill, kill, kill. And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill, kill. And he started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill, 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 kill. Till the sergeant come over, pinned a medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. I didn't feel real good about it, but I proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. They was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no parts untouched. But I proceeded through, and I finally come to see the very last man. I walked up, I said, what do you want to see me about? He said, kid, we only have one more question. Have you ever been arrested? And I told him the story of the Alice's Restaurant Massacre with five-part harmony, full orchestration, all kinds of the phenomenon. He stopped me right there. He said, kid, did you go to court? And I told him the story of the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows. And he stopped me again. He said, kid, I want you to go over, sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid.
one over there. Group W. Group W is where they used to put you if you may not have been moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. There was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There was mother rapers and father stabbers. Father rapers. There was father rapers sitting there right there on the bench next to me, and they was mean, nasty, ugly, horrible crime-fighting guys. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $25 and pick up the garbage." He said, "Kid, what was you arrested for?" I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there. Until I said, "And creating a nuisance." And then they all come back and shook my hand. And we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping. We was smoking cigarettes and all kinds of stuff, having a good time on the bench till the sergeant come over. Had some paper in his hand. He held it up, he went like this. He said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 37 words, 40 letters, and S. One on time to crime, detail to crime. I got a thing to say, pretend to about the crime. One arresting officer's name, kind of thing, got a say." And he talked for 45 minutes, but nobody understood a word he said. But we had fun and filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench. And I wrote down the massacre like I was supposed to, and I put down my pencil, turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side of that piece of paper, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, underlined and capitalized, read the following words: "Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself?" I went over to the sergeant. I said, "Sergeant, you got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W. I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, children, and villages after being a litter bug." He said, "Kid, we don't like your kind. We're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington. And friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in a little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you this song tonight is because you may know somebody in a similar situation sometime. Even some of you could be in a situation like that sometime, sooner than you're sitting there thinking about right now. And if you ever find yourself getting in a situation like that, or you know somebody else, there may be only one thing that you can really do about it. That's to walk up to a shrink sometime, somewhere, anytime. You just go walking in there, and you wait, and pretty soon you say, 'Oh, shrink, excuse me, but shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant,' and walk out. Imagine one person even today walking in, singing a few bars at Alice's restaurant, walking out. They're going to say, 'Hey, that guy's 20 years too late. Get that guy out of here.' Imagine two of them walking in even today, hand in hand, singing in harmony. No problem. Imagine three of them. They're going to think it's some kind of organization or something. And so you can imagine like 50 people a day. I said 50 people a day walking in anytime, singing a few bars at Alice's restaurant and walking out. And friends, they're going to think it's a movement. And they'd be right. It'd be the Alice's restaurant anti-massacre movement. That's right. That's what it was. That's what it is. That's what it's always gonna be. And all you've got to do to join is to sing it with me the next time it comes around again on the guitar with feeling. Here it is. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can't get anything. That sucks.
You can't start singing at the end just if I quit singing. You would have thought you would have learned by now. If you want to end war and stuff, you've got to learn to sing loud all the time so people can hear you. I mean, I've been singing this song for 20 minutes tonight. I could sing it for another 20 minutes. I could sing it for another 20 years. But I'm not that stupid. It's now or never. I mean, I know, I can feel it. There's people in this very audience tonight that don't believe that songs can change the world, that songs can change the destiny of nations. I don't blame you. I wouldn't have thought so either. But I know something now that you might not know. This is true. I'm not making this stuff up. This is not part of the song, but this is history. I remember when Jimmy Carter was elected president because I got an invitation to his inauguration, and I knew I had to go because I knew it'd be the only one I ever got. So far, I've been right, too. But I remember I went down to Washington. I'm not making this up. I went to Washington. There was people partying like they do with those things all over town. And at the end of the day, somebody come up and tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around. It was Chip Carter, the president's son, about my age, and I recognized him. I said, "Hi, Chip." He said, "Arlo, I've been looking everywhere for you." I said, "Chip, how come?" He said, "Arlo, I've got something to tell you." I said, "Chip, what is it?" He said, "Arlo, we were moving our stuff into the White House, and in the Nixon Record Library, we found a copy of your record, Alice's Restaurant." I looked at Chip Carter with laser beam eyes. I looked into the man's soul. I said, "Chip, was it open?" And in slow motion, he nodded. Yes, it had been open. And I want you folks tonight to know that I did not think about that for a long time. Until one night, sometime later, I was sitting around thinking about Richard Nixon, like I sometimes do. I can feel it. There's some young people here tonight that don't know. But see, Richard Nixon was the president of the United States. And he used to like to tape stuff. If you can imagine a world before VCRs and cassette decks everywhere, you can imagine a man who was truly ahead of his time. And he taped everything that went on in the White House, and everything was fine until one day they started playing back the tapes and people found out what was going on in there. But it wasn't what was on any tape that got the man in trouble, so much as it was what he had erased from the tapes. But he didn't want people to know what he was listening to. And there was one particular famous gap in one of those tapes that I was thinking about one night when I said to myself, "Arlo, how many things in the world are 18 minutes and 20 seconds long?" I mean, how many things in the world are exactly 18 minutes and 20 seconds long? Probably just a coincidence or something. But it's good enough for me. So when this song comes around again on the guitar, remember that songs can change the destiny of nations, even if it's only by coincidence. You just have to know the words. Have the feeling. And know when to sing them. You can get anything you want at Alice's Rest, except in Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's
hammer in the morning, a hammer in the evening, all over this land. Hammer out danger, hammer out a warning, hammer out love between my brothers and sisters. Over this land. If I had a bell, ring it in the morning,
ring it in the morning,
ring it in the evening,
ring it in the evening,
all over
this land,
ring out danger,
ring out danger,
ring out a warning,
ring out a warning,
ring out love,
ring out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
If I had a song,
if I had a song,
sing it in the morning,
sing it in the morning,
sing it in the evening,
sing it in the evening,
all
over this land,
sing out danger, sing out a warning, sing out love between my brothers and my sisters, I got a hammer. I got a bell. I got a song. All over. It's the hammer of justice. The bell of freedom. Song about love. Love between my brothers and sisters.
Take a short intermission. We'll be right back.
Irish tune. Some of these Irish tunes, they don't have any rhythm, and they don't need any accompaniment. They're good for lonesome nights when you're trying to keep people awake. But there's a tune I fell in love with a while ago, which is an African tune. And it really should be accompanied with these things. Do you ever think this thing is full of seeds and maybe only one of them is on the beat? All the rest of the seeds are too early or too late. Well, nobody's perfect. But I got a story about seeds. 2,000 years ago, this young fellow was trying to cheer up his friends. They were very discouraged, and he says, think of the person sowing seeds in the field. Now, it's true, some of the seeds fall in the pathways, and they get stepped on. They don't grow. And some seeds fall in the thorns, and they get crowded out. They don't grow. Some seeds fall on bare stones, and they don't even sprout. But some seeds fall on fallow ground. They grow and multiply a thousandfold. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yo, yeah, yo. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yo, yeah. Some seeds fall on fallow ground. They grow and multiply a thousandfold. Here's a part for you to sing. La 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 la, 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 la 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 la. Keep it up, la la la, everyone. La 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 la, la 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 la, la la. Over and over. Tomorrow we scatter like seeds. Tomorrow, ah, we are seeds. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, 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 oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Tomorrow we scatter like seeds. Tomorrow, oh, oh, ah, we are seeds. Sing it. La 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 la, 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 la 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 la. Look away, look away, don't you see? One and one don't make two, ah, they make three. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yo, yeah, yo. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Look away, look away. Don't you see? One and one don't make two. Ah, they make three.
Let's see if I can. I was trying to fix this harp holder. I will get it to work. I don't like it a whole lot because I get my hair caught in it. It was all right when my hair was shorter, even like last month. Yeah, I'll see if I'm in action in a tune. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about this song. I haven't really mentioned it before, but I wrote this like, I remember it was like right after Woodstock or something, and I'm only mentioning it because the press has been coming up to me, especially, you know, this summer, and they've all been coming up with microphones and sticking them in my face to say, Arlo, what happened to the dream? And I've been trying to remember exactly what the dream was so I could tell them, you know? I didn't think I was dreaming at all. Seemed real enough to me. So, and it still does in some ways. I have a little magazine that I write, you know, every once in a while. And I reviewed some what I thought would be Woodstock products. You know what I mean? Like new ways to package it. Just to help out those who hadn't thought of these ideas already. I won't mention them, but if you, I don't know if I put them in the, hey Kathy, can you hear me? Did I put them in this little sampler thing? The Woodstock products? No answer. Yes, good. Okay. I'm only trying to remember because I don't remember what I write, or if I do, I don't remember where it went. But... So if you'd like to see that, somewhere back where our stuff is, I just found out, it's that we send a little sampler thing, anybody wants it for nothing, you know, and if you put your name and address back in there somewhere on these pink slips we got, we'll send it to you. So anyway, here's a song I wrote.
I remember now the time you left, you thought to say farewell. But for how long you would be gone, there was no way to tell. You just set out upon your road, it caused you lots of grief. It took you many is that you came too far to leave. Alone for years you sailed around, at last your ship came in, been charging mission to the deck, so we sent her out again. With perfume flowers in your hands, you stood there in the rain. They set the stage for an event, and everyone was game. You came alone, and now at home they stop and ask your name. With and ramble around from town to town and tell me what's been told and sing the songs you sang before you sat there for the king and fate alone will guide you on and give you words to sing. Sometimes when I write songs, you know, even most of the time, I believe I know what I'm writing them about. But I wrote this one like over 20 years ago. I just figured out who I wrote it for. I guess that's good. That means that when I do something now, there's hope.
Going now, I'm
looking for a rainbow down this highway in the wind.
I gotta do this. This is new. I don't mind doing old songs, but I gotta do a new one. I wrote this last year, I guess, or something like that. Because the good thing about being around as a singer for a while is that if somebody didn't get to say something and you get to think of it, you get to do it eventually. And I guess I learned something important over the last 20 years of singing. Maybe the most important thing was that although there's always people, you know, and there's always crises coming and going, there's always something new to worry about, something you can't eat for breakfast anymore, there's always controversy of some kind, it seems, in this world. But there's really only two kinds of people that I found in the midst of all that stuff, and that's people that gave a damn and people that didn't. And the truth of the matter is, at least from my own perspective, is that the ones that gave a damn and the ones that didn't, you could find on either side of any issue, almost anywhere you go. And maybe in the long run of things, I made more friends by having in common that I cared about something, rather than, because the crisis has come and gone now, but the caring about things and give a damn still stays around. So that's kind of an interesting thing, and I thought I'd say that in a song if I could, one way or another, and it goes something like this. It's called When a Soldier Makes It Home. Halfway around the world tonight, in a strange and foreign land, a soldier packs his memories as he leaves Afghanistan. And back home they don't know too much, there's just no way to tell. I guess you had to be there, but I know that war was hell. Victory parades for those who's coming back to fly them in at midnight and unload the body sacks. And the living will be walking down a long and lonely road, because nobody seems to care these days when a soldier makes it home. They'll say it wasn't easy, just another job well done, as the government in Kabul falls to the sounds of rebel guns, and the faces of the comrades being blown out of the sky leaves you bitter with the feeling that they didn't have to die. And they won't be any victory breeds for those that's coming back. You'll fly them in at midnight and unload the body sacks. And the living, well, they're walking down a long and lonely road, because nobody seems to care these days when a soldier makes it home. Thank you.
a strange and foreign land. A soldier unpacks memories that he saved from Vietnam. Was back home, they didn't know too much. There's just no way to tell. I guess you had to be there, but I know that war was hell. And there wasn't any big parades for those who made it back. They flew them in at midnight and unloaded all the sacks. And the living were left walking down a long and lonely road. Because nobody seemed to care back then when a soldier made it home. The night is coming quickly. The stars are on their way. As I stare into the evening, looking for the words to say. And I saw the lonely soldier, just a boy that's far from home. And I saw that I was just like him while upon this earth I roam. And there may not be any big parades if I ever make it back. As I come home undercover to a world that can't keep track of the heroes who have fallen, let alone the ones who won't. Which is why nobody seems to care when a soldier makes it home.
Have you recorded that last song?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
You gotta record it. Gotta be on sale for me.
One of these days.
This is a song written by a fellow who was drafted to go to Vietnam about 22 years ago, 23 years ago, and this song was actually the most famous song in USA in the year 1970. Never got played on the radio, but it did get in the movie Woodstock, so the song got around. Some old-timers here will remember it. Help me out. Come on, you big strong men, Uncle Sam is up again. Got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books, pick up your gun, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three, oh, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gate. There ain't no time to wonder why.
Whoopee!
We're all going to die. Come on, generals, you better move fast. This here war has come at last. Gotta go out and kill them Reds. Only good commie is the one who's dead. We know peace can only be won when we blow them all to kingdom come. And it's one, two, three, oh, what do we fight for? Don't ask me, don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gate.
ain't got time to wonder why.
Whoopee!
The long door to die. Wall Street, don't be slow. This here war is all the go. Lots of good money to be made. Selling the army, the tools or the trade. Only hope when they drop the bomb, they drop it on the Viet Cong. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, don't give an answer. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gate. Ain't no time to wonder why.
Puppy!
We're all going to die. Come on, mothers throughout the land. Send your boys to Vietnam. Come on, pops, don't hesitate. Pack them off before it's too late. Be the first parent on your block to bring your boy home in a box. And it's one, two, three. How are we fighting for? Don't ask me, don't give an answer. Stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gate. Ain't got time to wonder why.
Whoopee!
We're all going to die.
About 48 hours from now, I expect to be down in a country I've never visited before, down in Chile. And I don't know whether I'm going to be able to sing this song or not. I'll find out when I get there. It was the last poem written by a fellow named Victor Jara. Next month. He was singing at a university, and the generals took over the country. They surrounded the university and herded up several thousand people and put them in a big stadium, a soccer stadium. It was a scene of horror for several days. People were being executed and their bodies just lying there. Then the captain of the guards recognized this singer, Victor Jara. He said, and Victor nodded yes, and I guess sealed his death warrant. They decided to make an example of him, took him out in the middle of the arena, told him to put his hands on the table, and then they came down on his hands with, I'm told, with the butts of rifles and just mashed him into bloody pulp. Said, now sing for us. And he staggered to his feet and went to the stands where his friends were looking on, horrified, and said, compañeros, let's sing a song for El Comandante. And waving his bloody stumps, they sang the anthem of Salvador Allende's Popular Unity Party. It was too much. They opened up with machine guns and they mowed him down and a lot of others. But somebody smuggled out the last poem he wrote while he was there, and I put a guitar accompaniment to it. This is just a translation, a literal translation of that poem. We are 5,000 here in this little part of the city. We are 5,000. How many more will we be in the whole city and the country? 10,000 hands, which could seed the field, make run the factory. How much humanity, with hunger, pain, panic, and terror. There are six of us, lost in space among the stars. one dead. One beaten like I never believed a human could be so beaten. The other four wanting to leave all the terror. One leaping into space. Others beating their heads against the wall. All with their faces fixed on death. Military carry out their plans with precision. Blood is medals for them. Slaughter is the badge of heroism. Oh my God, was it for this you created the world? Was it for this? The 7 days of amazement and toil. The blood of Compañero Presidente is stronger than bombs, is stronger than machine guns. Oh, you song, you come out so badly, but I must sing the terror. What I see, I never saw. What I felt and what I feel must come out. Ara brotar el momento. Ara brotar el momento. Yo soy un hombre sincero. De donde crece las palmas. Yo soy un hombre sincero. De donde crece las palmas. Y antes de morir me quiero echa mis versos del alma. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Mi verso es de verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es de verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es un ciervo herido que busca en un monte abajo. Guantanamera. Hey, 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 Guantanamera, 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 Guajira, Guantanamera. Con los pobres de la tierra quiero yo me suerte echar. Con los pobres de la tierra quiero yo me suerte echar. El arroyo de la sierra me complace más que el mar. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, taratiri, tiri, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This help me out here.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but
sounds good when everybody's singing. Because I've been singing this song a long time now. As a matter of fact, we even put it in the movie we made 20 years ago. Only made one movie because I made the mistake of singing it. But I knew this song back then. I knew the chorus for a long time even before that. But sometime around 1964 is when I guess I learned most of the lyrics. Because one night I was singing this song, just the chorus, on a radio station down in Philadelphia. It was one of these talk show things late at night on a 50,000-watt clear channel job that you could hear from Maine to Georgia. And I was singing this song, and I knew I didn't know all the lyrics, but I figured there must be people who was listening that did. So I made the mistake. I said, hey, why don't you send them to me if you know them out there? And I gave them my address on the radio. Within a few weeks, we had hundreds of letters, thousands of letters coming to the house, all with the lyrics to this song. But not a one of them was written by hand. Every one of them had been ripped out of a hymnal somewhere. I guess that's dedication. So I started singing the song, at least on the East Coast, figuring I was one of the few people that didn't already know it who could actually get through it. Well, soon after that, somebody wrote me and told me about the man that wrote this song. And I started telling his story, even back then. And unlike lots of other things, it seems it gets more important as time goes by. And so I keep telling it night after night, show after show, year after year, decade after decade. The man that wrote this song, his name was John Newton. John Newton was the captain of a slave ship. He used to sail people from Africa to this country. One night out in the middle of the ocean with a ship filled with people chained to each other, John Newton, well, something happened in the middle of the night, and he woke up and he turned the ship around.
And he took everybody back home. He sailed back to England where he was living, started writing these songs. The man might have lived a long time ago, but he's a friend of mine tonight. Because anybody who's not afraid to turn around, do something right, and change the whole world is a friend of mine tonight. You know, it's not just individual people. Sometimes that could be cities and towns or states or countries or continents or planets. It don't make no difference. We can't ever let anything make us feel like we're too small and insignificant to turn around and do something right. Change the whole world. Because it's been done before. And it'll be done again. But the funny thing is, if you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for the world. And mostly it's a matter, it's not a hard thing you got to do so much as it's a matter of opening up your heart. Like it is now, you can feel it, you know. Don't worry, it won't last or nothing. But this is the feeling that changes the world in small measure. Because there's people out in South Africa and Central and South America and the Middle East, maybe sitting out there next to you, certainly over in China, that need to know that somewhere somebody's heart is open. Somewhere somebody gives a damn. And that gives people hope. And hope changes the world. And love does even more than that. So thanks for coming tonight. It's been fun to be here. Because I guess I just keep singing this song. I hope you join me when it comes around here. Nice for me to run out of things to say, you know. When words stop, sometimes I guess that's where hearts begin. Here's the verse of this song. It's not an original part of the song, but written by the same man. It goes something like this. Shall I be one? On flowered beds of ease, while others strive to win the prize and sail on bloody seas.
I sing
it out.
Every move.
Go. Brothers,
brothers,
sisters,
sisters,
all. We are dancing Sarah's circle. We are dancing Sarah's circle. Sing it out. Struggles long, but hope is longer.
Thank you.
restless riders, three conductors, 25 sacks of mail, all along the southbound Odyssey. The train pulls out of Kankakee, rolls along past houses, farms, and fields, passing trains that have no name, freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Say, don't you know me? Pullman porters and the sons of engineers ran their father's magic carpet made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep rocking to the gentle beat and remember the rail is all they feel. Good morning, America, how are you? Say, I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Sounds nice, everybody. Sing. Nighttime on the city of New Orleans. Changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home and we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream. The steel rail still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train got the disappearing railroad blues. And good night, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train that calls the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. One more time.
Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away. Well, may the skiers turn, the swimmers churn, the lovers burn. Peace, may the generals learn when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away.
When I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go.